Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. To ask a question, you may press star one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to your host for today's conference, Mr. Don Bucyk. Sir, you may begin.
Hi. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Today we're going to talk about Maximo Scheduler. It's a new product, was just released. We've got myself, Don Bucyk, Nithya Parameswaran, and Brian Downey. The three of us basically make up the Maximo Scheduler team. So if you turn to slide two, we get into the agenda for today, and we'll start out with an overview. Then we'll get into the functional review, and then we'll do a deep dive into the pricing and packaging and wrap with a Q&A. The point behind this is to give you a feel for why we came to market with this product, the functionality that it provides, and then how you price it and package it for your customers. If you turn to the next slide, we get into the background. And this gets into the why we came out with this product. If you start at the bottom of this slide with the blue boxes, what you'll see is we've been gathering data from customers for actually quite some time on this pain point. We've been hearing over the years that customers were looking for scheduling and planning capability within the Maximo framework. You know, we've historically offered a project integration and a Primavera integration, and those certainly have helped, and we'll continue to offer those. But we've been hearing from customers that they'd like that type of functionality built into Core Maximo. Hi, I'm sorry, was that a question? Okay. So if you look down at the blue boxes, what we did in 2007, early 2008, was we validated the pain point around Scheduler by polling a series of sales reps, services folks, business partners, and customers. And basically, universally, the feedback we got was the number one thing people would like to see us add was scheduling and planning functionality. Then with step two in 2008, we developed a prototype based on the requirements and working with the customers that you see below, Walt Disney World, City of Lakeland, Mosaic, BP, and several others, actually, to validate that proof of concept. So it was really a case where we took the initial demand, we met with a series of customers, we built out a technical proof of concept, we validated those requirements with those customers, and then it was an iterative process of revalidation as we expanded the list of customers that we worked with. And if you look at step three, what we've done really is expanded that list of validation, as I mentioned, gathered more feedback from sales channels, BPs, services, et cetera, and then we have since GA'd the product literally this week. We've also got a second release coming in early 2010 and plans for follow-up releases after that. So what you see is really a strong product based on strong customer demand with a strong roadmap. If you go up to the top, the green box, what this gets into is some additional background. And so you see the basic pain point is customers wanting the ability to visualize, graphically visualize, think about Microsoft Project, et cetera, graphically visualize all of their work orders, their tasks, et cetera, all the work that they do within Maximo. Customers have often complained that Project Primavera and Excel are really just too heavy or not the right fit or the tools don't make sense for their needs. And so we've heard this demand increasing quite a bit over the years. Now, if you turn to the next slide, we're going to get into the functional review and lead into what Scheduler is and some deep dive into the functionality. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Brian Downey.
Thanks a lot, Don. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to get into some of the details of the Scheduler now. First, I'm going to reinforce a few of the key points in the background leading up to this product, and then we'll start walking into the functionality and go through the screens and share the main features and design goals with you. So if you turn to the next slide, what exactly is the Maximo Scheduler? It's a Maximo application. It contains a graphical Gantt tool that lets you schedule work orders using drag and drop, something people have wanted to see in Maximo for a long time. There's more graphics. Another thing people have wanted to see for a long time is better planning and scheduling. We brought both together in this product. And so here in this small picture, you can see some things going on. You can see work orders rolling up to their parent work orders and up to the schedule header. You can see links or logical relationships connecting work orders. You can see the colors that are used to depict the statuses of the work orders, whether they're complete, in progress, waiting, or approved. So there's a lot of ways we can configure this chart. We'll be getting into those in more detail in a few minutes. Let's move to the next slide. This is an extension that can be installed on 7.1.1.5, which is the latest Maximo fix pack. We didn't retro this product to 6. This is brand new. It's going to be on 7, and it needs fix pack 7.1.1.5 and goes forward from there. Move to the next slide, please. EGA just happened. We're very pleased to announce that this is a real product with an eAssembly download. Don will be getting into the details of pricing and part numbers a little bit later in the presentation. Move to the next slide, please. Why did we build the Maximo Scheduler? Don talked about some of these issues that we've been looking at very large customer demand for a long time for better graphical tools, more embedded graphical planning and scheduling tools inside Maximo. And that's been coming from virtually across all industries. Anybody in an EAM deployment who's using work orders, and especially those that are generating a large number of work orders from PMs and so forth, they're going to have a mix of backlogged work, they're going to have current in-progress work, they're going to have a lot of upcoming work that needs to be planned and ultimately scheduled, and you need to be able to see that and manipulate it in an appropriate view, and that's what the scheduler is and what it provides for the planner-scheduler roles in our customers' organizations. It's also easier to acquire and install and implement than the adapters, say, to MS Project or Primavera or to the homegrown systems we see out there doing planning and scheduling at the customer site. It's full-blown Maximo. It's a real app. It's right in the framework, sitting right on top of the work order object. So it's a really nice architecture. Next slide, please. The vision here is to provide a good alternative to the many users in our customer sites that currently rely on either that third-party tool or a homegrown integration to Excel or one of our adapters like MS Project or Primavera to do really what they describe as basic scheduling. There are still going to be power users that need Primavera. That's fine. It's still going to exist for them. There's a lot of users who just want to see that weekly schedule, move it around, print it out, and bring it to the planning meeting. That's what Scheduler is perfect for. Next slide, please. There are some things that the Scheduler is not. It's not a costing tool or a budgeting tool. It's really a work scheduling and planning tool. It's not a project management tool in terms of being appropriate for grinding a very large capital project with a lot of network complexity to it, like the Primavera is good at, for example. And it's not yet a schedule compliance tool in terms of being able to save baselines and report KPIs against the progress of a project, against its original budget, against its original schedule, with the variance analysis that you see in schedule compliance reports. And we're not doing that yet, although we get so much feedback about it and so many requests to add it. It is becoming part of our roadmap for a future version of the scheduler. People want to have KPIs that show how the in-progress tasks are doing against plan. And we think that's a good idea, and we're looking into that currently. Next slide, please. Here in the planning horizon, the scheduler is perfect for the left-hand side of this chart. We've got work orders with a great deal of detail. They have job plans and work plans, and all of their approvals are in place. They have the labor tools and materials built out, and they're ready to schedule over, you know, a period of several weeks or perhaps even a couple of months. So these are work orders with a high level of detail in a relatively short to midterm timing horizon. For those, the Scheduler 7.1 that we just released is perfect. It brings those work orders into the chart. You get to look at them, filter them by whatever criteria is important to you, by priority, for example, or for the work that's currently assigned to your team. You can colorize the information in the chart many different ways and look at the data in the tables many different ways, and you'll see that in a couple of minutes. So for the scheduling and planning of those daily and weekly schedules, looking at the work order backlog, the in-progress tasks, and the future upcoming work, it's a very, very good and appropriate tool for organizing that information in a chart. Going out to next year, we've got another release plan, 7-1-1, and there we start going out into a longer-term strategic planning horizon because we're adding PM forecasting analysis. Next spring, we'll have our second version out, and there we've enhanced the PM application considerably to hold the future dates of a forecast that can be generated automatically on the server side, or it can be generated inside Maximo by the planner. Those dates are saved and become editable in the chart, so you'll be able to actually see PM instances, future PM instances, alongside the current production work orders and look at their impact on the resource load together. Next chart, please. We're going to start walking into the application itself now. Here's the main tab. We see that we're on the schedule tab of the scheduler application. We start with the ID and description. We have an optional calendar and shift combination to define work time in the chart versus non-work time in the chart. We have several flags just below that. Public makes a schedule public to people with the same privileges as the author. Non-public is private to the author. Preserve existing keeps the original set around and only appends new records that meet the criteria to it. Refresh means whenever you visit the Gantt view, go back to the work order object, bring in any changes, any new work orders that may meet the selection criteria. Moving over to the right side of the header, we have the four system-generated fields, last saved, last committed, created by, created date. We have a preserve start date flag, meaning whatever scheduling you did in your last session will be the starting point for your next session. Otherwise, the critical path method of scheduling may try to reorganize that data and move it to the very beginning of the schedule or the start date, which is the next field, and that's the beginning point of the schedule. And now I am going to hand it over to Nithya, and Nithya is going to walk you through the process of actually building and displaying a schedule. Nithya?
Thanks, Brian. We are still on the same slide, main tab. I'll take a couple of minutes talking on the work query section of the main tab. The work query section is the place where the user can define the criteria that will bring in the work orders that the user wants to see in the Gantt chart. So if you look at the example here, and if you look at the where condition field, it indicates that the work order should be from site Bedford and location Boiler. So the user can type in any kind of a SQL where clause that will bring in the work orders. There are other ways to build that SQL where clause. If you look at that copy query button just to the right of that where condition field, what that button allows the user is any queries that have been previously defined in the work order application can be used here as well. So if you already have a complex query built in the work order application to get a list of work orders, you can use a copy query button to grab that particular query and pop it here in the scheduler application. If you notice, it's a table window, which indicates that you can have multiple where condition classes here, and it would be an R kind of a condition. So if you have more than one row in the work query section, then any work order that matches any one of that criteria will be brought into the scheduler Gantt view look. So that's how the user can build the where class and bring in the work orders. We'll move to the next slide. We are going to skip this slide, which talks about the features of 7.1. We usually talk about this slide when we don't have screenshots, but since we have screenshots, we'll skip this slide and directly get into the various aspects of scheduler. So next slide, please. We are in building a schedule slide. If you look at that slide, you see a SQL expression builder. Now, this is another way to define your where class. So we saw one which was the copy query. And this expression builder can be invoked by clicking on that little icon next to the where condition. So when you click on that, what you see is this particular dialog that shows all the columns that are available in the work order object. So, for example, you can see actual finish, actual labor cost, asset, asset num, calendar. So any of those fields can be used as a criteria to bring in the work orders. So next slide, please. So you should be on the table view slide now. Now, this is a Gantt chart that displays all the work orders that matches the criteria that you have defined in the previous chart. So here on the left-hand side, you can see all the work orders displayed in a tree structure. So the topmost, you see 7,000 work order 7,000, which is a fuel storage project, but that has a lot of children underneath. So like 7,100, 711, 7112. So all these are child work orders underneath 7,000. And some are grandchildren, some are children even below that. So you see the whole hierarchy of work orders here. On the right-hand side is the Gantt chart. You can see all those work orders represented in a Gantt chart. Just above that right-hand section, you can see the calendar view or the date view. You can see the September. So you're seeing the work orders for the month of September, starting from September 1st to September 5th. So that's the time scale. You can zoom in or zoom out. So you can get to the minute level on a particular day, or you can go up and see for the whole year. So it's totally left to the user how deep they want to get in. On the bottom left side, you see the resources. So those are the resources required to perform the job that has been listed above. And on the right-hand side bottom, you see the load of those individual resources. So when you actually move your mouse to one of those stacked bars, it will indicate like how many electricians I need for a given day. Similarly, like how many machinists or how many mechanics I need for any particular day. So that's the Gantt view. We'll get a little deeper into each of the section. So let's look at the table section, which is the left-hand side, the topmost quadrant, which shows the work order and all the tasks. So by default, you can see that it displays work order tasks, the description, the start date, end date, priority, and status. However, the user can configure this Gantt chart to show more fields. So for example, they want to see the asset or the location of the work order or even the job plan that's used, or they want to see who the supervisor or the lead. So any of the field in the work order application can be shown here in the table section. That can be done using a configuration dialog, which we'll get into it in a minute. You can also see the color coding there. So all the work orders that have been listed are in waiting for approval status, and they are in blue color. If the work order is in an approved status, it will be shown in a different color, and completed work orders will be totally in a different color. Now, these colors are configurable again. There is a palette which the user can use to change the color for the individual status. There is an option, like if the users want to use a color for priority, then they can do that. There is, a configuration available that they can switch it to priority. And once you do that, then the color will be based on the priority of the work order. Other things that you can do on the table section is you can change the order in which the columns have been displayed. You can change the length of individual columns. So all those are configurable. You can also hyperlink. So for example, you can click on 7,000 work order and hyperlink to the actual work order application. And then come back. You can also do, like, if you have the asset column displayed here, you can click on that asset column and then jump to the asset application with that specific record. If you want to make any changes or see more details about that asset, you can see that and then come back to the Gantt view. So let's go to the next slide. Next slide is the configuring the table view. This is a place where the user can go and configure like what columns have to be shown in that particular table view. So you can see like some of the properties listed there, and a flag indicates whether those properties should be shown in the Gantt view or not, and also the display order. So this is a dialogue that's available in the scheduler application itself, and the user can go and configure the table view. Now, there are two kinds of configuration here. One is by the administrator, and they can decide what columns are available to be displayed. So the administrator can decide that the user can pick any of the 30 columns to be displayed, and that 30 is determined by the administrator, and the administrator has its own separate dialog where they can configure those columns. And the user will be able to use this particular dialog where out of the 30, they can select which one they want to show and also the display order. It's all, if you look at the top portion of the dialog, it says schedule, which means that these configurations are specific to a schedule as well. Meaning, when I look at this kind of a set of work orders, I want this kind of a configuration. Whereas if I'm going to see, let's say, all emergency work orders, then I might be more interested in seeing all the assets or the location on which those emergency work orders have been created. In other case, if your schedule shows just PM work orders, maybe you might be more interested in the who are the supervisor and which location all the job has to be performed. So the, your initial first two columns might be different based on the schedule. Go to the next slide. So now we'll get into a little more details about the Gantt view, the actual Gantt chart. So here you can see that the time scale represents September 1st to September 4th and shows all the work orders there. Now, there are the few things that you can do on the Gantt section, which is you can, looking at the resource requirement at the bottom, you can actually move that particular task bar. For example, the first blue bar, the modification engineering, which is task 1 of work order 711. You can just drag that particular bar to, like, say, September 3rd or September 4th. So as you drag it to September 4th, any resources required at the bottom would also dynamically change, and it will show some requirement on September 4th. So when you move that particular task bar, what you're doing is you're changing the scheduled start date and end date of that particular work order or task. Now, you can also change the duration by just clicking on the leading edge or the trailing edge of that task bar and then moving only one of those edges. So, for example, if you want to just change the scheduled start date of the task, then just click the mouse on the leading edge of the taskbar, and then you can collapse it. The same way you can extend the trailing edge to increase the schedule end date. You can also, when you, if you want to see more details about that particular task, when you just move the mouse on top of that particular taskbar, it will pop a bubble tip showing more details about that particular task, like, for example, what's the work order, on which asset it is, what is the priority, and what is the scheduled start date, end date, and duration. So all this information would be readily available when you just hover the mouse on that particular task. I think now I'm going to hand it over to Brian, and he's going to talk about some more aspects of what you can do on the Gantt side, and I'll come back and talk more about the resource section. Brian?
Thank you, Nithya. Let's move to the next slide, please. This is titled Task Dependencies and CPM, and I'll talk about the way we link work orders and tasks and use an automated critical path method routine to create dates for them using that information. Before I do that, I'm going to really quickly just walk across the toolbar from the top of this chart from the left to the right and just go through the various features and options that are contained there, starting with description filter. The description filter is a quick filter. As you type text into that, it does an immediate filter against the work order description, which is shown in the name column. Finds anything that matches that string of text, and that's a real-time quick filter. To its right is the structured filter that brings up a dialog, such as you know in other Maximo applications, that show the various fields allowed to filter from in the application. And that can build a complex filter query and restrict the set for viewing in the chart. To get the full set back again, there's the Show All button. Then we have the print controls. You can print the activity chart, which is the top half of this application, or the resource chart, which is the bottom half, or both of them. The next three icons to its right have to do with the pagination and the setup of the print and the generation of the printer, the printed chart to one of your output devices. Then there are three zoom controls, zoom in, zoom out, and fit to page. And those change the scale of the time scale and the amount of information that you see relative to each of the bars on the Gantt chart. The next one is the link icon that draws links or precedence constraints between work orders or between tasks. And to its right is the delete link. So you can actually create and manage and delete links directly on the chart and have that information post back, obviously, to the work order application. And then finally are the two critical path method scheduling buttons. The first one will schedule everything in the entire set using the schedule criteria, and the next one will schedule only the selected records and their immediate children. So if you're scheduling, let's say you brought in 1,000 work orders, but you're really interested in this week's work, which is the first 50, you could choose those 50 and schedule them without having to invoke any methodology on the other ones other than just manual scheduling. So if we come down to that first set of blue Gantt bars that are connected, you can see the precedence relationships. There's various different types of relationships there. Here in 7115, we have the full complement of precedence relationships, such as the project management systems have, and that would be finish to start, finish to finish, start to start, start to finish. We also have lead time, which is an overlap or a head start for the successor relative to the predecessor. We also have lag time, which is a gap or a delay between the predecessor and successor. You can see those relationships here. You can draw them right on the chart. You can right-click on one and go give it a lead or lag, or you can click on it and delete it. These may have come from the job plan, because in job plans you can set them up too, and you can also set them up in work orders as well. So any of those places can affect each other. The critical path method scheduling that we use begins with the start date of the schedule that you specified on the main tab. If you don't have one of those, it uses today. Then it looks for all of the records in the set that don't have predecessors, and it schedules them either as soon as it can or wherever you put them last. Then it looks at their relationships and starts adding durations and relationships and leads and lags and builds out that schedule from left to right along the timeline. It's a very handy way, for example, to take a job plan that represents a small network of tasks and just straighten it out relative to duration and work time and non-work time on the schedule. Here on this schedule, we're seeing all white space as a background along the timeline. That's because we're working a three-shift operation that assumes 24/7 availability. But if you remember on the main tab, we had an option for putting a calendar and shift combination on it. Nithya will be talking about that in a couple of minutes. So that is the task dependency and CPM that we use to get the work order scheduled on the chart. Can you move to the next chart, please? This is another new feature that we added to enable an advanced feature in the scheduler, which is date constraints. In the red box, you see the two new fields in work order tracking, start no earlier than and finish no later than. And that is a way to create a scheduling window for the work order to be scheduled inside. If the work order somehow falls outside of that window, it's said to be out of compliance, and you may have reports that catch those things and report on them and do audits to see how well you're doing against your constraint dates. And in the scheduler, the depiction of these date constraints are vertical dashed red markers that create that window that the work order can be in. Again, those constraints can either be added manually in work orders, but more likely they're attributes of the job plan. And the job plan has offsets that say the work order generated by this job plan has to be started within 8 hours of the target and done within 16 hours of the target. That creates the date constraints when the work order is generated, such as you see here. Next slide, please. We have bulk reschedule, which is a very easy way to grab a bunch of work orders or tasks on the schedule and just move them from one place to another. A very common use case being the case where you bring the chart up and you're looking at things that are late or unstarted as of the last planning session, and you just want to pick them up and move them to the next available planning window, which might be next week or the next day or the next month. So what you can do with mouse, as you see in the bottom picture here, is you can click on a row and drag and highlight things. And then once they're highlighted, if you move over to the right side of that chart and you see the four blue bars that relate to those highlighted rows, you can see the markers on them have also been highlighted. That means they'll all be moved together in parallel with one click and drag of the mouse. So by selecting a bunch of rows and clicking on any one of them, you can take that whole portion of the schedule and reschedule it. We call that bulk rescheduling. There's a number of ways to select things. You can do it individually by clicking and then control-clicking on another row. You can click on a row and shift-click on another row, and it'll grab everything in between. You can encircle some contiguous bars on the chart itself by drawing a rubber band around it. So there's a number of ways you can use the mouse to accomplish this kind of bulk rescheduling and move things around very efficiently on the chart itself. Now, I am going to hand it back to Nithya, and he's going to go into some detail on calendars and resources for us. Nithya?
Thanks, Brian. We'll move to the next slide that's titled Calendar. So if you look at that slide, and if you look at the Gantt portion, you would see some shaded section now. In the previous examples or the previous slides, you may not have seen that shaded section. That's because those schedules didn't have a calendar mentioned, so you see just a white space behind those bars. So the white space indicates that those are the available times, or those are the time during which the work order can be performed, and it didn't distinguish between a working time and a non-working time. Because an absence of a calendar assumes that it's a 24/7 and jobs can be done anytime. However, your schedule might be specific to a particular shift. Like if you're a planner who works from, let's say, 7 to 3, and your job is to schedule work to be performed by your guys from 7 to 3 o'clock, then you would like to see the working time versus the non-working time. So here in this example, what the planner had done is attached a calendar, and the calendar runs, I think, from 7 o'clock to 3 o'clock. So you see the white portion during that section, and anything after 3 o'clock till the next day, 7 o'clock, is all grayed out. So that shows the non-working time. So this kind of a shift can be introduced. You can specify that at the time of schedule definition, and each schedule can have different calendars and shifts. What we also did is you can add more than one shift to the calendar. So, for example, like when a job is done at, let's say, started at 2 o'clock but needs to be handed over to the next shift, then you can have a schedule that has both the day shift as well as, say, evening shift. So in that case, it will be a more extended white section, like it's from 7 to 3 as well as from 3 to, say, 11 o'clock. And the gray portion would be just from 11 to 7 during the night time. So you can add more shifts to the calendar, schedule. And the white portion will show the available working time on any given day. So that's the calendar capability. Now at the bottom, if you look at it shows the resources required to perform all the job that has been listed above. And what you're seeing is the resource load, meaning like, okay, I need this many carpenters for this day, and I need these many electricians on that particular day. So it shows all the load. And once again, like how you can hover the mouse on the taskbar, you can also hover the mouse on the stack bars on the resource to see the exact requirement. So what we did when we showed this to quite a few customers, they gave us feedback saying that, see, it's not very clear, like, what colors require what resource in this chart. So let's say, like, my carpenter, I know that I have only two carpenters on Monday, and I need to see what are those work orders that require that particular carpenter. What you can do is you can actually focus on that particular resource and right-click, and what it would do is it will highlight all the work orders that require that particular resource. So you have that